This is Great Waves Insiders. Step inside the tribe as our market experts share their boots-on-the-ground experience from the front lines of freight tech's emergence. Hello and welcome back to Freight Waves Insiders. I'm Dooner here with Andrew Leto from Emerge.
How's founder, it going?
CEO.
Exciting to be here.
Book reader.
I love books.
Investor.
Yep.
You have, wow, you have one hell of a background. But before we go back in time, let's start at the beginning. You are with Emerge. For people who don't know, what do you guys do?
So Emerge is a my third company in the space. My first is Global Trans, which is a typical old school brokerage, but you know, we have it's about a $2 billion company now. It's there's 2,000 people working there. They do LTL, truckload. They're doing acquisitions now. So I started that out of my bedroom when I was 22 years old.
Wow.
And then built that to about a $700 million run rate. And then, I left because I wanted, I'm a startup guy. I'm not a big company CEO. There's a different skill set there. And, when you're dealing with lawyers and investors more than you're dealing with the technology and the products and that's where I was like, okay, that's someone else should be doing that. So I gave that CEO position up, but also I saw that there was a bigger play, in our industry, which with technology and taking something to a new level. And that's what I did with, my second company was 10-4.com. There was only two visibility players when I started, was us and Four Kites. So I wanted to build a marketplace for trucking. I always thought that it was crazy when I was at Global Trans that you'd be walking around the sales floor and it wasn't just Global Trans. There's like, I mean, how many big brokers are there? How many big truckload brokers are there? There's hundreds, there's thousands, you know, it's crazy how big this industry is. And everybody's calling the same trucking companies and matching the same shippers. And I was like, wow, there's gotta be a better way to do this.
Yeah.
So I started 10-4 with the idea that you should be able to connect carriers in a more digital way versus calling, you know, negotiating the rate on the phone, calling the carrier and tracking the carrier on the phone. And that's what I built 10-4 for. And when I started taking that product to shippers, I built this marketplace with visibility. And I went to a couple of big shippers and they told me right when they saw this thing and they said, hey, we don't really like the marketplace is not interesting to us. What's interesting to us is what's that truck on the map? We like that. There's a truck like moving on a map. Like, I'm like, that's what you care about?
Yeah. Okay. Knowing where things are, right?
Yeah. So I was like, all right. So my team decided to pivot and we became a visibility player, which wasn't my passion. My passion was I always wanted to build a marketplace for trucking. And so we went with that.
Out of curiosity, why? Like, why did the marketplace interest you so much more than the visibility play?
Because to me, the matching is the hardest part. It's the most expensive part. It's what, you know, what companies, if you're a shipper, you're paying more to connect. And plus it's a data issue. There's everything's so siloed and, you know, no one knows. There's always, I'll tell you this. If you show me a truck that's moving on the road and that's picking up at a shipper, I'll show you five trucks. If you have the data, that would have been a better truck, maybe, and even better for that trucking company, maybe less deadhead miles and maybe less. It's inefficient because everybody's siloed. Everybody's got their own TMSs. Everybody's procuring their freight on different portals. And, that's what I knew that was the big problem. Not where's my shipper, but and that's a big thing. I mean, I think tracking is important.
Yeah.
It's just, that was my passion. My passion was in the market and building a more efficient matching engine.
Well, I gotta imagine too, when you start something and this is your main idea and then someone kind of wants the secondary thing, you have to pivot. You're like, wait, hold on a sec. I wanted to build the marketplace.
Yes. And, I had a big problem with here the problem at the time was the people we're talking to were more interested in just, hey, we want to take all of our trucks. You know, we're at a really big shipper at the time. They said, we'd rather just use that map thing. And could you take all of our ELDs and all our trucks and throw them on these maps so we could see where they're at and we could then then we can know if something's late, then when it arrives, when it picks up, we could put geo fences. So if it's like within 5 miles from delivering, we could like alert people. And that's what they really wanted. So we had to, at that time, visibility wasn't around either. So they saw I had two products really. I had a marketplace and a visibility product. They wanted the visibility product. So 10-4 became a visibility product. I got out of it right away. I sold out within 2 years to Trimble. And now they're running with it, which is, there's a play for visibility.
It's a pretty good exit too, right? It was a few hundred million that it sold to Trimble, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I think it was about around 40.
40 million?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is still pretty
good. Still pretty good.
But I probably put 20 or 30 million, like 25 into it. So
yeah.
It wasn't the, that wasn't my, but that's to me, because again, it wasn't my passion. It wasn't, even though if I would have been my passion, it would have been a pretty, you know, I would have ran with it myself instead of selling it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I stand there, and they're doing, you know, now they're competing with, you know, the Four Kites and the P-44s, and there's a big market for that. But that's what led me to Emerge. And I started the marketplace at Emerge, and which is not a visibility product. You know, we use visibility. We connect to the visibility players now. And but now I'm going to shippers with my product, which is Emerge, which is a procurement system. It's how it's trying to get everybody on the same portal to buy their trucks. And this way they could to make a more efficient market when, you know, if everybody's on the same system buying the freight, they can then trade and you know, they could put their dedicated backhauls on it. They could put their private fleets on it. Shippers could trade capacity with each other, which they're not doing currently on anything. When they're doing their bids, most shippers do their bids. They're not connecting to other. They're not seeing. They're not saying, okay, well, if I'm going to run a lane from Chicago to LA, show me all the empty other trucks. Maybe there's a dedicated truck that I could use. Maybe there's something else. Maybe there's another carrier that I'm not bringing to this bid that this would be a better backhaul for. And that's what we're bringing. We want to bring a more efficient procurement.
No pun intended, but the marketplace seems a little bit more receptive to the marketplace now that you're trying to put it out there. You've done two rounds of funding, correct?
Yep, two rounds. So our first year, on our fourth year. This first year we just built the product. Second year, we had our first revenue year. We did $2 million. Last year we did 30. And this year we should do 100 million. So we're in that kind of growth trajectory. There's a billion of freight running through our platform at this point, though. So when I say that, remember we let the shippers trade with all their partners. We bring in their digital brokers. We make better route guides for them. So we believe that the route guides are broken in most TMSs. We're not trying to replace the shippers' TMS. Yeah. We're trying to sit above it. No one's wants to replace their TMS. So we want to partner with TMSs. We want to make the routing, more efficient. We want to bring in the digital brokers. We want to partner with them. We just want the shipper to have the best options when they're tendering their loads, whether and to the right carrier. We also want to be able to bring in these private and dedicated fleets, all the excess capacity. You know, 30% of the time if you show me a dedicated or private truck on the road, a company truck, it's empty. And that's think about all the waste and miles there. But it's like finding a needle in a haystack. If everybody's doing their bids siloed on, and by the way, most shippers are doing their bids on spreadsheets and email. If they're doing their bids on spreadsheets and email, they're not seeing all this capacity. They're just doing it. All this is siloed. And when I have all these siloed systems, whether they're using all these other technologies, for procurement, they're not seeing everything. And so we're trying to bring that transparency and bring in then showing them, hey, there is an empty, you know, big shipper truck on this lane and you could use it. And then that's 100%, you know, not 100%, but at least 80% extra money for that shipper to fill that truck. It's a one less truck moving on the road. It solves the whole capacity issue once we run back into that. And it's just a more efficient model. And I think, and this year we're in our coming out year. I think, you know, we're growing fast. We got a lot of big shippers adopting our product. It's free. You can connect to anybody you want. And, we're not trying to disrupt the big brokers. We believe in them. We believe in the digital brokers. We want to just bring them all to one platform. We want to build all the APIs. I consider us the Kayak of trucking.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, Kayak and, you see, Kayak for a plane ticket and
sure.
you do a bit, you know, it might connect you to United. It might connect you to, even Southwest, even though they don't have a deal with Southwest, they'll show you there's a Southwest jet in this lane. And it's a great place to start when you're looking for a plane ticket, you know, cause, it shows you all the carriers and all the rates and then they direct you to those carriers. And that's what we're doing with like the digital brokers. We're doing that with so we're trying to make this marketplace, you know, all inclusive and not, and be more like a Switzerland and not like try to create enemies. And because we want people to do their bid through our software and then everybody to come in and bid on it, and give the most efficient carrier to, you know, we give a ton of freight to digital brokers. We give a ton of freight to the big carriers. We give a ton of freight to the small carriers.
Yeah.
And we make a little bit of money when other carriers will meet shippers on our platform. And that's our model.
What does the timeline look like? I'm always fascinated by this. And I know people out there just in a pop culture sense, they watch shows like Shark Tank and you kind of hear a little bit about a founder's journey, but you have an idea like Emerge. What does that look like from idea inception to going out and getting funding and bringing it to where you are now?
Well, I'm lucky in the fact that I was successful. I don't think if I was someone, I'm sure that there's a lot of people like, you know, kids at Coyotes and the big brokers or anywhere that have like, hey, this is great if we could build it. I'm lucky enough to have a couple wins under my belt and had some funding and then obviously had some money myself, which I self-funded in the beginning. And then obviously, and then to be able to then attract the investors, hey, he's already done it. I have a lot of things in my favor to be able to do this, you know, even though a lot of people would think that this is the right way thing to do. And that's, you know, I self-funded it myself in the beginning, but now I'm taking investor money, but it's much easier when you have a few wins under your belt.
Yeah.
But I always tell every entrepreneur this is the best time in the history of mankind to be an entrepreneur. There's more money actually chasing companies than there is actually companies to invest in. And that's why you see these valuations and you shake your head. You're like, whoa, how did they get that valuation? It's just because they're that one company, you know, they're doing great, but are they really worth what they just got that valuation? Probably not. It's just that there's just so much money and they got to find, there's so much money chasing. And you see it with, it's kind of coming in the news with the biggest ones like WeWork and, you know, is WeWork worth, was it worth $70 billion or $50 billion at the last valuation? No, but it's worth something. It's not worth that. It's just drove up the prices. But if you have an idea and you have the right, it's the best time. And I see a lot of even new founders, you know, I've seen like at least four or five new companies in our industry that just, you know, you have to start off small. You got to prove it's baby steps. You know, you're not going to get a $10 million check to start if you don't have something proven. But to get $100,000, $200,000, $1 million to start, it's not hard anymore. As long as you have a good, I think it's all about team too. Vision, team. It's the easiest time in the history to get funding. I didn't get funding for the first 7 years of Global Trends. Yeah. It took me to get to $100 million in sales. To get anybody interested in 2010, I would have got funded like my first 2 years if this was this day and age. It wouldn't have taken me 15 years to get to where I got when I left. It would have taken me like 7.
Yeah.
So it's much. I think it's the best time in the history to be an entrepreneur.
Let's take a trip back in time really quick because before we started recording, we touched on something here. Time warp. All right. We're back. Right. You're in high school, right? You're 16 years old. What do you think you're going to be doing with your life?
Oh, I was a student that didn't, I was an underachiever.
Yeah.
Big time. My parents weren't academics. They didn't push me into that. I didn't have good grades in high school. I underachieved. I was a less than a 2 point. I don't even know what I was. I was a D student.
Join the club, man.
I was a D student. I get out of college. I didn't even go to college. I get out of high school. I barely graduate. The only reason I graduated high school is because the Navy, I joined the Navy.
Yeah.
And the Navy got me into these night classes with a bunch of pregnant girls that it was me and a bunch of pregnant girls trying to get my credits just to graduate high school. I finally graduate high school and I go to the Navy and I do 5 years or 4 years, no, 5 years in the Navy.
Sonar tech. How did you end up the sonar tech with the bad grades?
Well, I did good on the, I had bad grades, but I did good on the test to get in the Navy. So that I could have been anything I wanted. I guess I was just underachiever.
Yeah.
And so I got a great ASVAB score. I could have been anything I wanted. I chose Sonar Tech because that sounded cool.
It does sound cool.
The movie Hunt for Red October.
Is it cool?
No. It's nothing like... it was... I would never regret doing the Navy, but being a Sonar Tech wasn't like you see in the movies. I probably did 1% of my time in the Navy was being like what you see cool.
Like listening for blips and looking at that screen.
The rest of the time is not... I mean, you're painting, you're doing a grunt. I was an enlisted man.
Yeah.
And when you're an enlisted man, you're the grunt. I mean, you're saying sir to everybody. You're the lowest in the totem pole. You're, everybody, it's the F-bomb, you know, you're a sailor. Everybody's cussing at you. And that was my first 2 years in the Navy. That's everybody's first 2 years of enlisted. It's not the funnest time. You kind of regret what you did.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I probably regretted the whole time I was there. But then I got out and I look back, I'm like, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I needed that. I needed the discipline. I needed the, you know, someone to, I needed that structure. And also it helped me build my companies and seeing how military is structured. You know, like for instance, on the ship, the captain is the CEO in a sense. And the executive officer is like the president. And the executive offer on the ship is usually the real jerk. He's yeah. like the guy that's putting everybody down. And then the captain, everybody loves. He's the figurehead. And but, you know, it's kind of funny how it works, because, you know, at some point he was the XO and he used to be the jerk and put everybody down. So it's like, but that's what you should have in a company, right? Everybody wants, you should have love for your CEO, and it should be that kind of figurehead and not someone that, you know, the CEO of a company, a big company, shouldn't be walking around putting people down. What is going on here? It, you know.
Oh, yeah.
If anything, that's what I learned. And so I learned really a lot from the Navy about how to structure companies. You know, when I became CEO of Global Trans, I was that same way. I try to act like, hey, everybody, I'm the CEO. But if I saw something wrong, I'd say, I'd tell my president and I'd say, hey, go check care of that problem I saw. But I'd still be the guy that was everybody hopefully was behind. And so that's I fast forward. So I did 5 years in the Navy. I love now. I look back. It was a great experience. And I tell this to anybody: if you're not going to go to college, go military. At least do one of the two. And I think I don't think one's better than the other.
Yeah.
But then I get out of the Navy in 2002, and I'm like, okay, I did 5 years Navy. I'm 22 years old. What am I going to do with my life? And I realized, well, I have no college. All my friends are just graduating college. They're so far ahead of me.
Yeah.
It's not like job offers were going left and right to me. So
you think you're so old when you're like 24 and 25 too. Like I look back on it too and I'm like, I haven't done this by like the time I'm 25. And then now like I'm 40 and I'm like, you're only 25. Calm down.
Right.
Listeners, if you're only 25, just calm down. You got a lot of time.
Yes, I agree. I wish I was could go back to that. Even with all my success, I'd love to be 22 again. But
you read a life-changing book, right? Was that around this time?
Yes. Yeah, so I tell this to everybody I meet because I want them to know that I don't consider what I did lucky. I mean, I never had a lucky day ever. I don't have. I always say I never had a day where I was like, oh my God, this happened. It's like, this is my luck. I started. So when I got out of the Navy, I remember. I remember hearing about this book in the Navy, and this person that I met on the ship once came to the ship with this attitude I never saw, and a changed attitude I never saw before in my life. And he said to me, and he was like considered like the big dirtbag on the ship. Everybody put him down. And he comes to the ship with this weird change one day. And he says to me, and everybody, I asked a question. I'm always curious. I'm curious about everything. And I had to know why this guy like, and a flip of the switch changed. And, you know, he started spouting. Everybody's laughing at him. He's going to be a billionaire. I'm going to be a billionaire. And I'm like, okay, you're in the Navy. How are you going to be a billionaire?
Yeah.
And he goes, so what I'm going to do. Oh, and I finally got it. He wouldn't tell me. And he finally says, I just read this book, Think and Grow Rich.
Think and Grow Rich.
Okay. And I didn't know anything about it. I forgot about it. And, but I just remember this change he had. And I never seen such a night and day flip of a switch. So I get out of the Navy and I'm struggling and I'm on unemployment from the Navy, and my dad's works. He's a mom and pop freight broker, freight agent, you know, working for himself, not making much.
Yeah. So he's not a rich guy.
No. And, so he couldn't help me out. So I was like and then I start thinking to myself, what am I going to do with my life? I could do 4 years of college. I'm going to be 27. And, you know, then I still have to, I'm not even going to college first. I got to go to community college to start. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I started doing that for a couple months. I was like, this is going to be forever before I even like, what am I get out of college to make 50 grand a year, 40 grand. I mean,
yeah, with loans and everything, you're in your 30s already.
They're already doing that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got to speed shit up. So, I remember it was like desperation. I remember I was like, I had no money. I was living in my parents' bed. I was still living in my parents' house at 23. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be 30 years old, living in my parents' house. And then I remember that day. I was like, let me just think about it. Let me read this book.
Yeah.
Just why not? I got nothing else to do. So I read it. And so let me tell you about this. So this is, thank God, I wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for a man named Andrew Carnegie. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you about my story. And Andrew Carnegie was the second richest man in the world 100 years ago.
Okay.
It was Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie. And Andrew Carnegie... So Andrew Carnegie, thank God he had this thought. If he never had this thought, I wouldn't be sitting here with you. He said to himself, why am I the second richest man in the world? I moved here when I was 6 years old and as an immigrant from Scotland, like no privilege whatsoever. I mean, no one liked the Scottish when they came over. And why am I now the second richest man in the world? I want you not to write how I did it. I want, and he found the hottest young writer at the time. You know, writers don't make that much money.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to hire you for the next 20 years.
Wow.
You're going to follow me. You're going to follow. And by the way, not only are you going to know me, you're going to know Rockefeller. You're going to know JP Morgan. You're going to know all my friends, all the rich titans of the Industrial Revolution. And I want you to write how we think, not about how we did it. I want this to be a timeless work. And by the way, when I say my favorite book is Thinking or Rich, it's the worst name. It's like, sounds like a get rich quick scheme.
Yeah. But in hindsight, because this is a 100-year-old book, right?
It's a 100-year-old book. And as a matter of fact, it's funny when I listen to Tony Robbins, Gary Vee, all these guys that are online now doing spouting all this, you know, it's all rehashes, in my opinion, of Thinking or Rich. And there's a book written like 7-10 years ago. It was almost like it was called The Secret. It was actually
a
perfect rehash, but with New Age kind of to it. But that was all just Thinking or Rich. I read it. So back to I'm 22, I read this book. I'm like, oh, I read it again. I read it one more time. And I'm like, holy. And I literally became that guy on the ship. I was like, I'm going to be a billionaire.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, wow, it's really going to happen. I didn't even know how it was going to happen.
Have you ever Googled him, by the way? Like the guy that used to be on the ship that said he was going to be a billionaire?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. So unfortunately, now this is, he actually committed suicide.
Oh, okay.
So here's the thing. It's not like going to save your life. But he had a lot of problems, this guy. I mean, that's why he was, it's, you got to apply it the right way. It's not guaranteed you still got to apply. Yeah. But here's what this book did for me. It changed my mindset. It changed my framework of how I thought of success. And Steve, and there's a quote from Steve Jobs that makes this book, it's like the meaning of this book. Steve Jobs, my favorite quote from Steve Jobs is, the day that you become successful is the day that you realize that everything around you is built by people no smarter than you. And that is so powerful to think. Because remember, when you're younger, you think that geniuses build companies. Geniuses came up with the idea for a plane. But then you realize that as you get older, the plane is amazing. You get on a plane, it's amazing how the thing takes off. I still have no clue how that stuff works.
Yeah.
But then again, it's not one person didn't invent the plane. It was mankind that built this plane. And that is such a powerful thought for any kid to have. I wish they would just teach this book in high school, or I would think it'd be more important than anything. Because this mindset is, and really the idea of this book is vision. And it's envisioning yourself, already there. Because remember, you don't have to know how to get there. You just have to see yourself there. And then those places, like for instance, when I first started up my company, Global Trans, I didn't know how Global Trans would become a big company when I first started. I just wanted it to be. And I envisioned myself making it a big company. And then over time, I just knew it was going to happen. And I just didn't know the steps. Like, I don't believe in business plans. I hate business plans. Like, business plans are the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. It's the worst. I think that's changing. Like, you know, you're never going to go into a business. You know, if you call a investor and say, here's my business plan, though, it doesn't make sense anymore. It used to be a big thing. Like, oh, what's your business plan?
Yeah.
Business plans change. Like, I've probably pivoted at least 3 or 4 times even at my new company, Emerge. I've pivoted 20, 30 times at Global Trans. And so I believe that it's really just about envisioning yourself. And that's what this book's about. It's the mindset and the framework of success. And it is timeless. And it's literally, if you read this, if you read this 3 times, 4 times, you don't have to even go to another Tony Robbins seminar, because all it is just reminders of what this book really meant. And like I said, that's how much that meant to me. And by the way, after I read that, it's not just that book. I read every business book there is. I mean, that's what I self-educated myself. I believe in education. I just had to speed things up. Read the book. Then I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to build a great company. I didn't even know what I was going to build yet. And then I read every business book there. I mean, that's what it just set me on that path. But it also gave me the idea of, like, you can do it. You don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to have money. I don't believe in any. I believe that anybody has that power.
Was it your dad's background that led you to want to resolve issues in transportation, or to start a company in transportation, or why Global Trans?
So the only reason that I am in transportation is my father. So my father was a stay-at-home, but it's not because of my father.
Yeah.
My father...
We brought awareness, right? Like,
but
awareness
he taught me the business. But yeah. If my dad was in the coffee business, I'd have a big coffee... I'd be talking about my coffee business right now. He was in the freight business. And when he showed me what he did, after I've read... that was after a year of just reading and just putting my mind and really just trying to self-educate myself after reading this thing, Grow Rich, and reading every business book I could get my hands on. I wanted to know... I read all, you know, Sam Walton's book. I read anybody that I knew that was successful. I wanted to know how they thought. Because that's what this book really teaches you. That's what the key is. And after when I first started from my father, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy how you do business. Like, you know, he would be doing what Global Trans does, but like he had five customers. They would call him up, hey, give me a rate. He would go to a manual and he had like five books and he'd go through them and he'd read back. He'd go, hey, you know, my dad's from New York and he'd go, hey, Andrew, this is what you got to do. You got to take this rate, you put 30% on top of it and you call him back. I'm like, and then he would call him back and I'd say, so a customer would say, hey, I got a shipment going from Phoenix to Chicago. He'd go through his five, he'd go through this thing called the ACI guide. He would put some carriers together. He would maybe call some trucking companies and he would figure out a rate that would work, whether it's, you know, they're slower or faster, and he'd give him a price back. And he would just use these books. And I would like, Dad, you heard of Travelocity or Orbitz or Priceline or these like new companies that are coming online? Like it's 2003, by the way.
Yeah.
So, he's like,
super high tech world, but we had the internet back then.
Right.
I was Ask Jeeves. And who was doing Priceline all the time? William Shatner.
Yes.
Yes.
But it was like barely still a thing. Like most guys didn't know what the internet was back then. I mean, it was still like in business. Like it was, you knew the internet was like for AOL, but you didn't really know like you could go do business on the internet yet.
Yeah.
And my dad taught me, I said, Dad, why don't we build some? Why don't we just do what you're doing and just tell your shippers to go to this portal instead of calling you? You just put the 30% or whatever you want to put on top of it and just spit back these rates through a portal like they do. And he goes, Andrew, why don't you go out, put a suit and tie on and go knock on doors and go get business. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I knew I had to do it. At that point, I started my own company. And I said, and fast forward 5 years, I buy my dad's working at my company. So,
you know what's cool though?
What
like you didn't just go,
Trends.
Like when he told you to put the suit on, you didn't just go try to sell freight. You were like, no, I'm going to actually go and sell this idea.
Yes. Well, no. So what I did was interesting. I discussed in the freight program this morning with Craig, but when people say you have to have money to make money, I say bullshit.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to curse on this program?
Sure, go for it.
All right. And I'm passionate about that because I hate that. I hate when people say you need to have it. And here's how I did it. And this is how I made Global Trans. So Global Trans, everybody, if you're in the freight industry, you know, I've heard of Global Trans. It was built on $1,000 unemployment check. And this is how I did it. You just got to be savvy. And the savviness that I had at that point was I knew the model. And you still got to know what you're doing. And the model was, like, I remember my dad had credit with trucking companies. So they would give him credit. Like, he would pay them in 30, 40 days and, you know, call back. So I knew when I left my dad, I was like, okay, I could probably go to some of these carriers and get some credit. I got one to finally give me some credit. Actually, it's kind of a funny story. One of the carriers that gave me credit was Craig's father's company, which back then they used to do, it was called Express Global.
Okay.
Which was a Forward Air competitor. So which was perfect for what I was about to do. So what I did was, I remember one time when I was working with my dad, someone from eBay called me and said, hey, I'm shipping this ATV on eBay and I don't know how to do it. And we just saw your number in the Yellow Pages. We're in Phoenix. I sold it in this thing called eBay and they're asking me to ship it. I called UPS and FedEx. They don't do it. Remember, UPS and FedEx at that time didn't have LTL, truckload.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do. They said, call a freight company. So I went to Yellow Pages. I called it. My dad had a Yellow Pages and they called me. And I was like, okay. So I told them, hey, what you should do, the best way to do it is to take that ATV down to a terminal because you don't want to pay the liftgate residential cost and then have your customer pick it up at the terminal.
Hell no, you don't.
And they said, wow. And I gave them a rate. I put 30% on top of it. I gave them the rate. And they're like, wow, that's the best rate I found. That's amazing. Let's do it. So I thought to myself when I left that, this is how you start a company with no money. And by the way, if it was that this time, maybe I could have done it. But in this day and age, there's no reason why that's the worst thing you could ever hear is you need money to make money. It speeds things up.
Yeah.
But this is how I did it. So I got one carrier to give me credit, which was hard to do, by the way. I had to get that. I went to 10 different carriers to get that. One carrier finally gave me credit, meaning here, I'll give you 50 grand of credit, whatever they gave me. And here's your paper. Here's your rates. I knew there were decent enough rates to go sell. I went on eBay and I emailed everybody on eBay at that time that was shipping anything over 150 pounds. So I'd look at it, I'd go through eBay and I'd say, okay, that's a snowblower. That's a freight. Oh, that's a pallet of overstock goods. That's freight. Oh, that's freight. Oh, furniture crated freight. And I'd email them, say, hey, when you're ready to, when you sell that, you're going to need to ship that. Here's my phone number. Call me. Did that for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, I started getting 20, 30, 44 phone calls a day from shippers. Hey, I just sold that. Maybe I'm ready. Can you give me those freight rates? And I explained to them. I said, listen, you don't want to have a truck come pick this up. Go bring it. You have a pickup truck. Bring it to the terminal. Have your customer pick up at the terminal. And then I explained to them how to do that. And I was able to make 40, 50, I made even more than 30. I put 50%. So if they charge, if truck companies $200, I charge $200. So it was like $400. And the shippers were willing to pay me. So the greatest part is they got paid through PayPal. Mm. They were willing to pay me through PayPal right away because prepay, right? It's, they got prepaid. Why not prepay me?
No 30, 60, 90 there, right?
So after 2 months, so I started Global Trans out of my bedroom with $0. After 2 months, I had $400,000 in my bank account because that's what I did my first 2 months of business, $400,000. Obviously, I owed the carriers about $200,000 to that. But then I was able to take $200,000 of that and hire five of my friends. I said, hey, start emailing everybody on eBay that shipping freight. And then had five other guys. Hey, you explain to the customer once they call in how to go bring it to the cut terminal. I had two people saying, hey, here's crater, you know, craters and here's how you crate it. And I built this whole business around eBay. So that's how Global Trans started it. And that's how I did it with no money. Think about it. So after 2 months, the carrier, the truck company called me, hey, you owe me X amount of money, but I was already in business and I paid them what they, I paid the carrier. And that's history. And that's how I started Global Trans with $0. So, you know, I don't even say I started, I mean, $1,000. I mean, there was, I didn't have money to make this into a company. And that's what I love to tell that because you should always think of ways to build business and there's ways to do it.
Yeah.
And that's how Global Trans started.
And I know that you have a flight to catch, but you're building a new business, Emerge. How do people go find out more information and continue the story? I know you'll also be on Fuller Speed Ahead, so you can hear a little bit more about, I'm not sure what you and Craig talked about, but maybe a little bit more of the current stuff. You get the backstory here. You can fill it all in. You get a nice companion piece.
Yeah, so I love what I'm doing now is my favorite thing of all time. I'm so passionate about it. I really want to go to shippers and help them solve this problem of procurement, how they procure their freight, how they tender their freight, how they route it. I want to give my products, it's not, we're not a SaaS-based product. You could, it's free to fire us or hire us anytime. My idea is to get as many shippers as I can on this product because I feel like if every shipper was on the same way, if they're buying all their trucks from the same place or all their freight from the same place, they could then, it's going to be much more efficient market for everybody and all the players in it because it's network effect. Anytime a shipper comes in, they bring in their carrier network and another shipper brings in their carrier network and then they could trade with each other and it makes more of an efficient market. And I'm so passionate about this. I'm really getting a lot of shippers to finally buy into this idea of, hey, this does make sense. Bring in your carriers to the mix and then being able to then get the benefit of other shippers bringing their carriers in the mix, which then helps you procure better, buy better. Also how you tender, we have all the digital freight brokers. We want to tie in those guys. So when you're building your route guides, you know how to place spot versus contract. And then if spot's better, you know, plug in the digital brokers. We just want to provide the best freight rate and the best freight. It's not the rate. It's really just, if it's a better freight rate, that means it's a better, more efficient truck. It's a closer truck. It's a less deadhead. It's a more efficient way to do it. I believe that if we could pull this off, it's a very green company too. I think there's so much waste and, you know, I have five carriers in my stable, so I only use those five carriers, but there's 550 carriers delivering that market every day that might have been maybe deadheading less to get to that location that they're picking up at. But I'm not trying to, I just want to build this system that shippers really buy into and it's free. And I mean, we don't charge for our technology. That's not our goal.
Efficiency fast. I love it. Where do people go to learn more about the about your
company? Emerge, our system's www.emergemarket.com.
Emergemarket.com. There you guys hear it right here.
Yeah. And obviously I'd love to talk to any shippers or any digital brokers or any carriers that want to, you know, do this with us. And we want to help. And I'm not trying to, when people say who are you disrupting, I'm not trying to disrupt anybody. I'm trying to make it a better place, better, easier experience for everybody to transact.
I'm glad you said that. I think I hate that marketing term disruptor, especially in supply chain. I've worked in supply chain for 16 years now. we don't want disruption in supply chain. Disruption's not a good term. No. I don't know. Like, you can always tell someone's an outsider if they want to disrupt stuff.
Right. And shippers have loyalty to their carriers and their brokers. They've gone through, like, bad times and good times with them. They don't want to hurt them. I just want to make it, like I said, I don't want to disrupt anything. I want to just give the shipper the ability to have a way to procure them better and to actually see what's out in the market and to see what the, you know, we're actually going to be a big customer of FreightWaves with the Sonar product. We want to show them the benchmark rates, so they could predict better where their, what their freight spend's going to be in this lane for next year, which a lot of the shippers really would like. And they're going to, I mean, you guys have a great product for that here. So that's what we're trying to do is, and we're trying to have the digital brokers, meeting with them this week and a lot of them this week. We want to, anybody that gets digitalized, any carrier, any broker, we want to add them to this, build, have the APIs and build that all in there. We're even talking to the visibility companies like P44, and we're talking to them about bringing in, how do we, where a lot of trucks are delivering, how do we get that data in other shippers' hands and creating a better, a more efficient place.
Yeah. Thank you for letting us step inside your world today. It was really cool to hear about these companies that you've built out and going from a sonar tech to using sonar to bring visibility to the world and the marketplace. You can find this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, everywhere podcasts are heard around the world, or subscribe to FreightCast. Get every FreightWaves podcast at Timothy Dooner on the Twitter, freightwaves.com. Emerge Market?
Yeah, Emerge Market.
Emerge Market. Check it out.